both can look at the same thing, but we're not going to see the same thing. The way we're going to define that thing is differently. Now, the skill, where the skill comes exactly at this point when I come to understand that you're a different personality. Like, even if you are in disagreement with what I say, it does not mean that you're my enemy.
Yeah.
You're having that, and I must accept you with all those disagreements.
You know, life is full of subjective issues.
Exactly.
And, that is what calls for your attention, your understanding of
that
the
is
fact.
Where maturity comes.
Yeah.
Like, you must accept the other person as the way they are.
Skill, you know, it's a holy skill to be able to deal with the other person, with the opposing ideas, and how to find solutions together while you're different, while your ideas are different, while your mindsets are different, and even your definition of the results are different.
Just try to come to this point that when your partner, when your person, partner in life has got different perspective from yours, that does not mean that they are your enemies.
Yeah, exactly.
No, you can still have a perfect, lovely life together with accepting all those differences. Like, you can still make decisions while you know that the other person is in disagreement in whatever you have in your mind.
Yeah, exactly. And that is the point that leads to a good life and can just help them. You know, life is sometimes viewed in the idea of the young generation as a change that is so sweet. We will have good memories. We will travel with each other.
Life is going to be so peachy so pink and so everything is so beautiful, but it's not like
that. And when they face the very, very first challenge in life, they start to just give up. Like, I cannot understand you, and because you have the opposite idea of mine, I'm not going to even accept you.
The honeymoon phase, they come out of that phase, and then they face the reality. Like, there was a psychologist out there who once said that marriage is just like getting into a place with a climate. But what the youngsters have in their mind is just like this honeymoon stuff that they have in their mind. That
it's like
it's
they
going
just
to
see
be
the first month.
So beautiful. Yeah. It's going to be like the time when you are just betrothed to each other. Like when the time you're getting to know each other, everything is so sweet. Everybody is trying to show a perfect picture of themselves. Maybe even they go to the point in which they do not show their real pictures, their real images.
Those pictures are sometimes fake.
Exactly. Like, because you're interested in someone, you try not to show your disagreement. And they would think like, okay, they are in full harmony with my own thoughts.
There's officially no challenge at that time.
Yeah.
Like, they're just both trying to satisfy the other person. And,
exactly.
They don't face any challenges. So that's why they don't see that
the
in life.
The story starts when all those hallucinations
are gone,
and then you get in under the same roof and the same house with the same issues and problem. The story starts right there, and the challenges are going to start right there. So just as we're talking about this honeymoon phase, which is going to be broken one day, let's get into a break.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Welcome back, Muslim ladies, here on program. Well, I am Asma, and Sister Nahid is in here. We're talking about the list of issues regarding marriage and the factors that would lead into a perfect marriage. We have covered numerous number of them, but then right now we're going to get into some more.
Yeah, family approval. You know, in Islam, family approval is often considered important before entering into a marriage to ensure support and harmony with the family.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean like we should get into the challenge that some families are just putting in the way of the young people to marriage.
Yeah. Like, unfortunately, headlessly, they would just draw these obstacles in the middle of the road of their children.
Yeah, I'm not talking about those kinds of like following whatever the families are providing you with, mm-hmm. like even stopping yourself from marriage because of those obstacles, either by the girl's family or the boy's family. What I'm talking about is that sometimes families, like mothers and fathers, can be the best counselors for their own child because they have seen life better than them. They have seen life
longer
than them.
They've been there and done that.
Yeah. And this kind of cancellation can really pave the way for them. Like when they know the challenges at that time that we mentioned that girl and boy are just in the romantic ideal life and they don't mm-hmm. face any challenges and they're not aware that later on they're gonna face a lot of challenges. If parents, if even family members, like sisters, older brothers, if they aware them of the problems, the obstacles, the challenges of life. Give them the knowledge of life. Give them the true knowledge of life. Because here, again, we have some issues. Like, some ideas are subjective. Maybe my brother sees some challenges bigger, like, exaggerated. But what I mean is that if families provide the couples with the logical information, with acceptable
and
information.
Support.
Exactly. And support, they will choose better and they will start a much better life.
Right now, I must actually address the youngsters, like the girls and the boys, of course. But we're talking to the girl. So girls are the main concern of us. Unfortunately, some of the girls get into wrong decisions just because of that childish idealism and that, unfortunately, idiotic romanticism sometimes, I must say.
We can refer to the fact that they're not emotionally mature.
Exactly. Yet. Like, they get into these problematic decisions that would destroy their entire life. Yeah. Even though their parents have warned them many times, but they did not pay any heed to it. The result is that they're going to destroy the beautiful future they might have had with another person with the wrong decision they're going to make. So I must say that sometimes, yes, we have seen it a lot of times that families would do things subjectively, like they would go for their own selves and what they want for their children. But unfortunately, what they're doing unconsciously is to hurt and destroy their children's future. Now, aside from that, we have seen a lot of these examples that the children do not pay any attention to what their parents say, though what their parents are just telling them is so logical.
Yeah, they're seeing the beyond. You know?
Yeah, they're seeing beyond the curtains. So the children, unfortunately, do not pay any attention, and the result is so, unfortunately, scary.
Yeah, and that's why this factor is mostly for the young girls and boys mm-hmm. who are on the edge of marriage.
There is this obstacle that you actually, as the guys who want to marry, see it as an obstacle coming from your parents, just give it double thinking.
Yeah.
Like, stop and think. Maybe their perspective is going to tell you some other stuff. And not everything that you think is bad is going to be bad for you.
Yeah. Putting yourself in the parents' shoes will give you a new mindset. Like, you'll understand life much better. And that kinds of feelings and emotions and the excitement that you have at that time may sometimes stop you from seeing the reality.
Yeah. So family approval is very important. Not that you follow their approval headlessly with no care and consideration of other factors, but give it a second thought. Maybe that's also going to be helpful.
Yeah. And the next factor I'm going to mention is the fact that we should be able to trust people. You know, trust and respect are the two sides of a successful life. And mm-hmm. if couples are able to trust each other and understand the respect that they are supposed to have for each other, they can surely have a kind of a good life with challenges for sure, but they will be able to solve the challenges with the least difficulty, with the least problems within themselves.
And it's not a one-way ticket, you know? It's two ways. Trust breeds trust.
Yeah, and
it's
also
not
respect.
That I am the only one who's going to give that trust. No,
yeah.
It is a mutual thing. You have to have it on both sides,
and
like the girls
at the same
and the boys.
Time. We are supposed to respect our partner, and our partner for sure is supposed to give that respect back.
I would put it this way, that a marriage without respect is actually nothing.
Yeah.
Like, respect is very important.
Yeah, I can't agree more. Like, respect is the thing that starts that relationship, leads to better communication, and
that's the backbone of a perfect relationship.
Yeah, exactly.
Respect is so important. Like, what we see in today's world, unfortunately, is that sometimes the couples take respect for granted. Like, they would not care about it too much. And they would think, they would call this as being too friendly with each other. But unfortunately, that's not true. I guess there must be some sort of respect.
No, being friendly and respecting each other are two different issues. Like, we are friends, we understand each other, we try to do our best to satisfy each other. But at the same time, we are respecting, we're keeping the respect. We're not officially insulting each other under the label of just being friendly.
Yeah. And I just mentioned that because of this misconception that we see it nowadays. Like, they think they're friends, but under that pretext, they would disrespect each other.
Yeah, exactly.
And which is not a perfect...
That destroys
an ideal way of having a relationship. So, yes, thank you, sister.
My pleasure.
Still, I guess it was so interesting, and still there are so much more to know about the important factors to have a perfect marriage. But then this was all the time that we had for today's episode. Until another session, I just leave you to God's never sleeping eyes, and wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I know I'm waiting for something. Something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
Iranian Radio Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
The Zionist regime has turned the largest medical facility in the Gaza Strip into a charred wasteland, a slaughterhouse, a cemetery. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. The Electronic Intifada wrote, during its two-week siege on Ashifa Hospital, the Zionist regime destroyed all buildings and departments without exception in a clear crime that shames humanity, Gaza's government media office stated. The army withdrew at dawn after facing fierce battles from Palestinian resistance factions. When the families of patients, medical staff, and displaced persons who were trapped inside the hospital and its grounds during Israel's raid and massacre returned to retrieve their loved ones, many found bodies in fragments flattened under bulldozer treads. Children's corpses were discovered burnt beyond recognition. The media office added, inside the complex and its surroundings, the occupation army killed more than 400 martyrs, an attempt to hide its abominable crime by executing hundreds of civilians, the wounded, and the sick within the walls of Ashifa Medical Complex. They covered the bodies with piles of sand, bulldozed them, buried them, and mixed them with the ground of the complex. Moreover, more than 300 prisoners were arrested, while over 100 Palestinian civilians are still missing as a result of the occupation's shocking crime. The Geneva-based Euro-Mediterranean Human Rights Monitor stated, hundreds of bodies inside Ashifa complex and in the surrounding area have been found burnt and mutilated, including corpses with their heads and limbs severed. The group called Israel's destruction and slaughter at Ashifa one of the largest massacres in Palestinian history. During the 14-day raid, the Zionist regime forces carried out summary executions, kidnappings, while forcing medical staff to abandon their patients. The bodies of physicians Ahmad Al-Maghdame, a plastic surgeon, was found alongside his mother, Dr. Yasmin Al-Maghdame, inside Ashifa Hospital. According to Dr. Ahmad Al-Maghdame's colleague, the British-Palestinian surgeon Ghassan Abu Seteh, they were shot by Israeli regime troops as they tried to flee the hospital. More than 20 patients were found dead in their hospital's beds as a result of the Israeli siege of the complex and the deliberate deprivation by the Zionist regime troops of medical care, food and water, Euromed stated recently. During the siege, Euromed added, Israeli regime forces obstructed the arrival of relief teams and representatives of international organizations to the complex to carry out humanitarian missions. Palestinian resistance forces had engaged in fierce battles with the Zionist regime troops during the raid on Ashifa. Last week, Euromed Human Rights Monitor documented systematic and horrifying military operations by Israeli regime forces inside and outside the Ashifa complex. Among these operations, the group explained, were at least 13 executions of Palestinian children between the ages of 4 and 16 years old. Euromed reported, some of the fatal shootings occurred during an Israeli army siege while the victims' families were inside their homes. Others occurred when the victims attempted to escape via routes that the Israeli army had designated as safe after forcibly evacuating them from their homes and places of residence. Euromed stated, Islam Ali Saluha, who lives near Ashifa, said the Israeli forces killed his two sons, 9-year-old Ali and 6-year-old Saeed, on March 24th in front of their families and fellow locals. They specifically targeted the children, he said, with live bullets. Saluha told the human rights group that the Israeli regime forces ordered residents of the area to leave. His young sons walked just meters before they were suddenly exposed to intense gunfire, which targeted the two children, Ali and Saeed in particular. The children then fell in front of them, their bodies covered in blood. As family members attempted to pull the two kids off the ground, he said the Israeli forces opened fire on them again, forcing them to leave Ali and Saeed on the ground and to continue walking. The Zionist regime lawmakers and political figures have repeated claims that the hospital complex was used as a Hamas and Islamic Jihad command center. Naftali Bennett, the Zionist regime's former prime minister, called the destruction of Ashrafa an amazing battlefield achievement. Bennett claimed Hamas used the staff and patients as human shields in order to cause maximum civilian casualties as to create more criticism and pressure on Israel, adding that not one civilian was killed, not one. The Zionist regime's military chief of staff, Herzl Halevi, boasted that the army siege of Ashrafa sends a very, very important message here and hospital is not a safe place. Recently, Francesca Albanese, the United Nations Special Rapporteur on Human Rights in Palestine, included Israel's crime of medical shielding in her report on the genocide in Gaza. Albanese writes in Anatomy of a Genocide, targeting medical facilities while accusing the enemy of shielding within them had already been employed by Israel as a strategy of medical lawfare in previous wars. In the current assault, Israel has invoked this legal strategy to justify genocide through the complete destruction of life-sustaining infrastructure, a report states. Recently, Albanese called on the International Criminal Court's lead prosecutor, Karim Khan, to take action over the Zionist regime's genocidal campaign. Albanese stated, "This is the greatest moment of truth in the ICC history."
The Israeli aggression against the people of Palestine has a long and tumultuous history, marked by genocide, occupation, and countless human rights violations. The Palestinian struggle to liberate their country stands as one of the most enduring and contentious resistance movements in modern history. At its heart lies the issue of occupation, with Israel's presence in Palestinian territories being a source of deep-seated grievances, violence, and international concern. The roots of the Israeli occupation of Palestinian territories can be traced back to the late 19th and early 20th centuries, with the rise of the Zionist movements advocating for the establishment of a so-called Jewish homeland in historical Palestine. The Balfour Declaration of 1917, issued by the British government, lent support to these aspirations, laying the groundwork for the eventual creation of Israel in 1948. The events surrounding the creation of Israel in 1948, known as the Nakba, or the Catastrophe, marked a pivotal moment in the history of the region. Hundreds of thousands of Palestinians were displaced from their homes and became refugees as a result of the conflict between Israeli and Arab forces. In 1967, Israel launched a strike against Egypt, Jordan, and Syria in what became known as the Six-Day War. Supported by its Western allies, including the United States and Britain, the Israeli regime occupied the West Bank, including East Al-Quds, the Gaza Strip, the Sinai Peninsula, and the Golan Heights. This marked the beginning of Israel's military occupation of Palestinian territories, which continues to this day. Palestinians tried all diplomatic and legal ways to end the Israeli occupation over the past 7 decades. In the early 1990s, efforts were made to negotiate a peaceful resolution to allow Palestinians to have their own state. Known as the Oslo Accord, it never put an end to the Israeli aggression, as the regime continued settlement expansion in the occupied territories. There were other deals, including Camp David, which never resulted in peace and only emboldened Israel in its atrocities against Palestinians. Throughout its occupation of Palestinian territories, Israel has committed all kinds of atrocities against Palestinians, including massacres and non-stop human rights abuses, such as land confiscation, home demolitions, arbitrary arrests, and excessive use of force against Palestinian civilians. The Palestinian resistance to the Israeli occupation has taken various forms. It started from peaceful protests to civil disobedience. But with major world powers' unconditional support for Israel, under whose influence even Arab countries started normalizing ties with the regime, Palestinians found no alternative to armed resistance to achieve their rights. Palestinians decided to take up arms and fight for the liberation of their territory, with groups such as Hamas and Islamic Jihad gaining prominence in the popular struggle.
What do you think? Do you advise me to continue as a slave? It's a right which has been granted for us who are living under occupation, that the time the diplomacy and politics fail, it's a right of those people who are living under occupation to defend themselves with all means. The victory has to be snatched, especially when you are facing such extremist, murderous, criminal leadership of your enemy.
On October 7, 2023, the Palestinian resistance fighters launched their biggest operation yet, a massive and deadly response to over 70 years of Israeli atrocities against them. Thousands of rockets fired from Gaza rained down on the occupied territories. The projectiles reached as far north as Tel Aviv and as far east as Al Quds. Shortly after, Palestinian fighters stormed towns in the south, launching deadly attacks and taking more than 200 captives, including military personnel. The 10-hour Al-Aqsa flood operation dealt a humiliating blow to Israel's much-touted military and intelligence system. Shortly after the operation, the Israeli military launched a massive strike on the besieged Gaza Strip that has killed more than 30,000 people, most of them women and children, so far. The Israeli regime, encouraged by the U.S. and Western allies' support, outlined 3 major objectives for this onslaught on Gaza.
I have 3 goals. One goal is to defeat Hamas, utterly defeat and destroy Hamas. The second is to bring back our hostages. And the third is to ensure that we don't have a similar threat in the future from Gaza, and that what happens in Gaza is good for Israel, good for Palestinians, good for the Middle East. And to do that, we need to demilitarize Gaza and de-radicalize Gaza. We cannot have, it mean for the foreseeable future, Israeli overriding military responsibility.
The Israeli regime has not only failed to achieve the goals, but also was forced to negotiate with Hamas on a ceasefire. The failure to achieve these goals has not only exposed the limitations of Israel's military prowess, but has also highlighted the resilience and the determination of Palestinian resistance forces.
There is no doubt that Operation Al-Aqsa Flood represented a success for the resistance movement, a success in carrying out a large-scale operation without the enemy being able to take action preemptively. This operation succeeded in seizing the entire Gaza positions within just hours. This is undoubtedly a great achievement, but here's the question. Was there any expectation for the enemy's reaction? Certainly. It was expected that there would be a reaction, but it is the nature of the occupation. It kills you, seizes your land, arrests you, and imprisons you. For example, in the West Bank in 2022, before the operations, the number of martyrs was about 500. The number of wounded people who were taken to hospitals exceeded 3,000. We are talking about thousands of prisoners. Under this occupation for 75 years, you have two choices. Either you do nothing and it continues to kill you, capture you, and seize your land, or you resist and the enemy will continue the aggression. But the message will be conveyed that the Palestinian people are still adhering to the right to resist, that the enemy is paying a price for the occupation.
Operation Al-Aqsa Flood marked a significant turning point for the Palestinian people, showcasing the harsh reality of Israeli occupation to the world. This operation not only highlighted the plight of Palestinians, but also indicated the power of Palestinian resistance in a coastal territory which has been under siege for some 17 years. Prior to this operation, Arab states were moving towards normalizing ties with Israel, overshadowing the Palestinian cause. However, the Gaza war that ensued, the October 7th operation, has shifted global attention back to the long-standing struggle of Palestinians for freedom over the past seven decades. It's been a stark reminder of the brutality of the Israeli occupation. Despite Israel's military might and reputation, the war in Gaza has been perceived as a humiliating defeat for Israel on multiple fronts. Public opinion worldwide has increasingly turned against Israel as images of civilian casualties and destruction in Gaza have circulated widely, shedding light on the brutality by Israeli forces which left no safe zone in Gaza, hitting even hospitals and UN refugee shelters. The October 7th operation stands as a testament to the power of Palestinian resistance, showcasing how a small and determined movement can withstand the might of the Israeli army, backed by the US and other Western countries. This operation highlighted the unwavering resilience of the Palestinian people and emphasized that resistance is not only a means of survival, but also a powerful tool in securing their right to self-determination. The ability of Palestinian fighters to hold their ground against one of the most advanced armies in the world has not only defied expectations, but also exposed the limitations of military might in the face of steadfast resistance. The refusal to surrender in the face of overwhelming odds sends a powerful message that the Palestinian people will not be silenced or oppressed, but will continue to fight for their rights and their dignity.
Is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran while shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam dina.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, salam to all of you and welcome. You're listening to IRIB English Radio and this is a new episode of today's special. And of course, we open a nice and interesting and of course important topic, and that is the unity of Islamic Ummah, especially during the month of Ramadan.
أرجو رضاك يا الله أنت الرحيم يا الله هبني عطاك يا الله أنت الكريم منك العطاء يا الله أنت العظيم يا الله فيك الرجاء يا الله أنت الحليم
الرحمن الستار ملك الملك الغفار الوهاب المنان المتعال.
By the way, today is Wednesday, 23rd of Ramadan, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 15th of Farvardin, 1403 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 3rd of April, 2024 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. At this moment, we listen to verse 103 of chapter Al-Imran from the Holy Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Wa'tasimu bihablillahi jami'an wa la tafarraqu. واذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ كنتم أعداء فألف بين قلوبكم فأصبحتم بنعمته إخوانا وكنتم على شفا حفرة من النار فأنقذكم منها كذلك يبين الله لكم آياته لعلكم تهتدون.
And hold firmly to the rope of Allah altogether, and do not become divided. And remember the favor of Allah upon you when you were enemies and He brought your hearts together and you became, by His favor, brothers. And you were on the edge of a pit of the fire and He saved you from it. Thus does Allah make clear to you His verses that you may be guided.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In this verse, the ultimate subject, which is the problem of unity and standing against any separation, is referred to. The opinions are divided among the commentators as to meaning of term Hablullah, the core of Allah. And in Islamic literature, there are also varieties of narrations about it. But there is no difference in the basic meaning of them, because the purpose of the cord of Allah is any means of connection with the pure essence of Allah, whether it be the Quran, the Prophet, or his progeny, Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them all.
قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله ثلاثة يذهبن النسيان ويحدثن الذكر قراءة القرآن والسواك والصيام
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi said, Three things eliminate forgetfulness and incite remembrance: recitation of the Quran, brushing the teeth, and fasting.
So as I told you today in this episode, we search more about the unity of Islamic Ummah during the month of Ramadan. Ramadan is a great example of Muslim brotherhood, unity and Ummah at the same time around the world. Give or take a day or so, 1.8 billion Muslims, usually even non-practicing ones, will spend a month fasting purely for the sake of Allah. Muslims will recite or listen to the Quran throughout the month. We will give millions in zakat and sadaqah to other Muslims who are suffering around the world. We will start to end the fast with sumptuous food, but remember those who are not able to have or enjoy food. Muslims would share the pangs of hunger and thirst of those least fortunate in the Ummah, regardless of their backgrounds. It is a month in which we will restrain our anger, language, and desires. At the end of it all, we will celebrate Eid everywhere. A Ramadan no Palestinian will ever forget. For those in Gaza who survived more than 5 months of genocide, there is no food for iftar. Israel is still blocking aid from reaching the most desperate. And people are cooking grass to have something, anything, to break their fast with. Babies and children are all malnourished, and dozens have already died from lack of food and clean water. Everyone in the besieged enclave lost someone, but they are not even provided with the time and space to breathe, mourn, and process their trauma. There is no mosque left undamaged and no safe place for the collective prayer. Indeed, people of Gaza are still under constant bombardment.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The month of Ramadan and the importance of strengthening unity among Muslims in the Islamic community. Dear brothers and sisters, today we are going to talk about the importance of Islamic unity and its relation and connection with the holy month of Ramadan. Brotherhood and fraternity is one of the best solutions for maintaining the power of the Islamic community, a strategy that brings about unity and solidarity and protects society from many spiritual and social deviations. Ramadan, as the month of descent of the divine miracle, is the best time to pay attention to this important religious lesson. Humans, due to having a social spirit, always need connection, empathy, and cooperation with their fellow human beings. In this regard, it is necessary to carefully examine and identify the criterion and standard for this unity and integrity in order to make the best use of it. Some believe that race and blood can be the best criterion for bonding. Others emphasize residence and border areas, and some experts also consider a common language to be the factor of connection between humans. The Noble Quran and Islamic teachings based on this divine book provide completely different criteria than expert opinions. The Quran considers taking race, blood, and border areas as the basis for unity and brotherhood to be contrary to the material and spiritual evolution of man and an obstacle to the real goals of human creation, and emphasizes that the only factor that can provide the ground for strengthening unity and cohesion among the people of the society and nations with each other is religious faith. When religious faith is realized in a society, the spirit of brotherhood and fraternity will be breathed into that nation, which will pave the way for comprehensive development in material and spiritual life.
In the holy month of Ramadan, the month of Allah.
In the holy month of Ramadan, the month of Allah, be with IRIB English Radio, today's special.
Every day from IRIB English Radio.
Ya Allah, adil fi qada'ik. Ya Allah, wasi'a fi ata'ik.
What is the essence of fasting? This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. What is the essence of fasting? To fast is to make ourselves aware of the implications of how we behave and of what we consume. Supporting the people of Palestine and the ongoing protests throughout the Arab world is consistent with this month of love, compassion, solidarity, and justice. It also means we must check what we eat to avoid the boycott product coming from occupying countries or occupied territories. How could we fast and at the same time eat dates exported by Israel, stained with the blood of so many innocent Palestinians? Fasting is awareness, commitment to justice and peaceful resistance.
We spend $2 billion annually so that we can support animals who have no shelter, animals who have no homes. Yet, we're sitting idle, not doing anything, while we witness the mass murder, an annihilation of an entire nation, while 2 million people have lost their homes. How? How can we enjoy a meal? How can we enjoy drinking water? How can we enjoy the comfort of our homes while 2 million people have become homeless? Not only that, but the Biden administration decides to gift Bibi's army a man who is addicted. This is according to his own people. He is addicted to occupation. He is addicted to genocide. We gift him with $14 billion. Instead of being agents of peace, instead of being a country that goes to that region to build schools, to build hospitals, to build roads, to build homes, we give $14 billion to fuel a war which can lead to tens of thousands of people dying.
Dear brothers and sisters, there was another episode of today's special which is ended. Thank you for listening to this episode. Inshallah, we meet you soon. Till then, may Allah bless all of you.
يا رزاق يا غفار يا ظهار يا وهاب يا توار يا رحيم يا عزيز يا سميع يا بصير يا لطيف يا خبير يا حليم حفيظ يا وكيل يا قوي يا متين
Sajjad, peace be upon him, has said, "Whenever I remembered the martyrdom of the children of Fatima, peace be upon her, my eyes filled with tears."
blinding flash of white light lit up the sky over Gaza tonight. People running for cover, not knowing whether they're dead or alive. They came with their tanks and their planes, with ravaging fiery flames. And nothing remains, just a voice rising up in the smoky haze. We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. Women and children alike, murdered and massacred night after night. While the so-called leaders of countries afar debated on who's wrong or right. But their powerless words were in vain, and the bombs fell down like acid rain. But through the tears and the blood and the pain, you could still hear that voice through the smoky haze. We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. Tonight, a blinding flash of white light lit up the sky over Gaza tonight. People running for cover, not knowing whether they're dead or alive. They came with their tanks and their planes, with ravaging fiery flames. Nothing remains, just a voice rising up in the smoky haze. We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
The headlines: Iran strongly condemns Israel's attack on its diplomatic